Gita Madhurya, Chapter 18. The Lord, in the 39th verse of the second chapter, described Sankhya Yoga and Karma Yoga. These two disciplines were also mentioned in the third verse of the third chapter. Arjun wanted to know these two paths, but as Lord Krishna could not get an opportunity to explain the divine nature and the demoniac nature from the 7th chapter to the 15th chapter, similarly, Arjun could not express his curiosity from the 3rd chapter to the 17th chapter. Having mentioned the two paths in the 3rd verse of the 3rd chapter, Lord Krishna in the 1st verse of the 4th chapter explained that he taught the imperishable yoga to the sun god. Arjun asked him how he could believe that he taught the yoga to the sun god, because Lord Krishna's birth was later while the birth of the sun god was earlier. The Lord, in response to this question, talked of his divine births and divine actions. In the 44th verse of the 4th chapter, he ordered Arjun to gain that knowledge from the men of wisdom by prostration, by questioning and by service to them. Again, in the 42nd verse of the 4th chapter, he ordered Arjun to establish himself in yoga, that is, karma yoga, in the form of even-mindedness. So, Arjun at the beginning of the 5th chapter asked Lord Krishna which of the two, the path of knowledge or the path of action, was decidedly better for him. The Lord answered his question in the 5th chapter and started the 6th chapter of his own accord. In the 33rd and the 34th verses of the 6th chapter, Arjun put a question on the restlessness or fickleness of mind. The Lord answered his question in brief. Arjun, from the 37th to the 39th verses, put the question, what fate does the striver, whose mind wanders away from yoga at the time of death, failing to attain perfection in yoga, meet with? The Lord answered the question in the 6th chapter. In the last verse of the 6th chapter, the Lord declared his devotee the most devout among all the yogis. The Lord started the same topic in the 7th chapter, where he described devotion in particular. Lord Krishna at the end of the 7th chapter, while describing his entire form, used the terms Brahma and Adhyatma etc. So, at the beginning of the 8th chapter, Arjun put 7 questions for the clarification of those terms. The Lord answered the first 6 questions in brief, while he explained the 7th question in detail. Then, he described the topic which was left in the 7th chapter, in the 9th chapter and up to the 11th verse of the 10th chapter. Arjun was very much pleased when he heard in the 9th, 10th and 11th verses of the 10th chapter of the devotees and the Lord's compassion to them. So, Arjun from the 12th to the 18th verses praised the Lord and prayed to him to tell him in detail his power of yoga and his glories. Having described his important glories at the end of the 10th chapter, he declares, what need is there, O Arjun, for the detailed knowledge? I stand supporting the whole universe with a single fragment of myself. Hearing these words, Arjun prayed to him to reveal to him his cosmic form. Having revealed his cosmic form, the Lord declared that by unswerving devotion, he can be seen and known and even entered into. At the end of the 11th chapter, the Lord explained the merits of devotion, and before that also, he explained the merits of the worship of his absolute aspect. So, Arjun at the beginning of the 12th chapter asked, the devotees who, with their minds constantly fixed in you, adore you, and again those who worship the imperishable and the unmanifested, of these two, who are better versed in yoga? In response to his question, Lord Krishna explained devotion and devotees in the 12th chapter, while worship of the imperishable and the unmanifested in the 13th and the 14th chapter. In the 21st verse of the 14th chapter, Arjun asked, what are the marks of him who has transcended the three modes of nature? What is his conduct and how does he get beyond the three modes? So, The Lord explained the marks and conduct of such a transcendental person and also explained exclusive devotion as the means to attain that state. The Lord started the 15th chapter in connection with his exclusive devotion. At the end of the chapter, he declared that a person who knows him as the Supreme Person worships him with his whole being. He means to say that the persons of divine nature worship him. It connotes that the persons of demoniac nature do not worship him. Before this chapter also, in the 15th verse of the 7th chapter and the 12th verse of the 9th chapter, the demoniac nature, while in the 13th verse of the 9th chapter, the divine nature, have been described in brief. So, the Lord started the 16th chapter in order to explain the divine nature and the demoniac nature. Arjun put the question at the beginning of the 17th chapter on faith, which was in connection with the Lord's declaration which he made in the last but one verse of the 16th chapter. The Lord answered his question by describing the faith of three kinds in the 17th chapter. Now, Arjun expresses his desire to know the two parts of knowledge and of action, which were mentioned by him in the third verse of the third chapter. Arjun said, O mighty armed, O slayer of Keshi, I desire to know separately the true nature of sannyasa or Sankhya Yoga and of Tyag, that is Karma Yoga. Sri Bhagavan said, There are four opinions of the men of wisdom about sannyasa and Tyag. Arjun said, O Lord, what are those opinions? Lord Krishna said, Some men of wisdom understand sannyasa as the renunciation of actions which are prompted by desire. Other wise men define tyag as the abandonment of the fruits of all actions. Some sages declare that all actions should be relinquished as evil, while others say that acts of sacrifice, gift and austerity should not be renounced. Arjun said, O Lord, these are the opinions of the men of wisdom, but what is your view in this respect? Lord Krishna said, O noble Arjun, out of the two, sannyasa and tyag, hear from me the truth about this abandonment or tyag. Abandonment has been declared to be of three kinds. Acts of sacrifice, gift and penance should not be relinquished, but must be performed, for each of them is purifying to the wise. Arjun said, Should only these noble acts be performed? Lord Krishna said, My considered and best opinion is that these acts of sacrifice, gift and penance and all other actions which are approved by the scriptures must be performed, relinquishing attachment and fruit. Arjun said, O Lord, abandonment has been described of three kinds by you. What are the characteristics of that abandonment? Lord Krishna said, Renunciation of actions prescribed by the scriptures, that is, niyat karma, is not proper for anyone. Its abandonment out of ignorance has been declared as tamasic form of abandonment. Note, there is some difference between vihit karma and niyat karma. All the actions approved by the scriptures are vihit karma. For example, there are so many fasts which should be observed according to the scriptures. But if a man observes all of them, then when will he have a meal? It means that all vihit karmas are not applicable to every person. Out of these vihit karmas, he should discharge his obligatory duty according to his varna or caste pertaining to his livelihood and maintenance of the body. This duty is called niyat karma. Arjun said, What are the characteristics of rajasic abandonment? Lord Krishna said, He who forsakes his duty from fear of bodily discomfort because it is laborious practices rajasic form of abandonment. Such a person does not get the fruit of relinquishment, that is, he does not get peace. Arjun said, What are the characteristics of sattvic abandonment? Lord Krishna said, O Arjun, an action enjoined by the scriptures, which is performed as a duty, giving up attachment and fruit, is regarded as sattvic form of abandonment. Arjun said, How can it be known that a striver has true renunciation? Lord Krishna said, The relinquisher, relinquishes actions for fruit and also forbidden actions, but he neither hates a disagreeable action nor is attached to an agreeable one. He, imbued with the quality of goodness, free from doubt, remains established in the self. Arjun said, "Why should a man not get rid of complications by renouncing actions instead of performing them in a detached way?" Lord Krishna said, "Since it is not possible for an embodied being to renounce actions completely, it is said that he who renounces the fruit of actions has truly renounced." Arjun said, "What are the kinds of the fruits of action, O Lord?" Lord Krishna said, "Good, evil and mixed, threefold is the fruit of action. For example, agreeable conditions, disagreeable conditions and a mixture of both respectively. Fruits of action exist even after death for those who have not renounced the fruit, but there is none for those who have renounced the fruit." Arjun said, "What are the cause in the accomplishment of actions?" Lord Krishna said, "O mighty armed, in the accomplishment of all actions, five causes have been mentioned in the Sankhya system. Know them from me." Arjun said, "What are those five causes, O Lord?" Lord Krishna said, "The body, the agent or the self or jivatma, the various organs, the divergent activities of various kinds, and destiny. These are the five causes. Whatever action a man performs with his body, speech or mind, be it right or wrong, these five are its causes." Arjun said, "What do you mean by saying that in the accomplishment of actions there are five causes?" Lord Krishna said, "Actually, the Atma or spirit is not the doer. All actions are performed with the body, mind and speech. But he who views the self as the doer is a man of imperfect understanding owing to his impure intellect." Arjun said, "What is the utility in viewing the Atma or the self as the non-doer, O Lord?" Lord Krishna said, "He whose mind is free from the notion of doership and whose reason is not affected by the fruit of action, even though he may kill the people, he does not kill, nor is he bound by sin." Arjun said, "When the soul has no connection with actions, what are the incentives to action?" Lord Krishna said, "Knowledge, the object of knowledge, and knower, these form the threefold incentives to action, and the instrument, the action, and the doer are the threefold constituents of action." Arjun said, "Which are more important, the incentives to action or the constituents of action? What is their classification?" Lord Krishna said, "Knowledge, action and doer are declared in the science of gunas to be of three kinds. According to the distinction of gunas or qualities, hear them duly from me." Arjun said, "Out of the three kinds, what is sattvic knowledge?" Lord Krishna said, "The knowledge by which a striver sees one imperishable entity in all beings, undivided among the divided, is called sattvic." Arjun said, "What is rajasic knowledge, O Lord?" Lord Krishna said, "The knowledge by which one sees the manifold existence of various kinds in all beings as separate is known rajasic." Arjun said, "What is tamasic knowledge?" Lord Krishna said, "The knowledge which clings to one individual body as if it were the whole, which is without reason, without any real object and trivial, is declared as tamasic." Arjun said, "Out of the three kinds of action, which one is sattvic?" Lord Krishna said, "The action which is performed without the sense of doership, without passion or prejudice, by one not desirous of the fruit, is said to be sattvic." Arjun said, "What is rajasic action?" Lord Krishna said, "The action which is performed by one craving for desire, or with egoism, or with much effort, is said to be rajasic." Arjun said, What is tamasic action? Lord Krishna said, the action which is undertaken from delusion without considering the result, loss, injury and one's own capacity is declared to be tamasic. Arjun asked, O Lord, who is a sattvic agent or doer? Lord Krishna said, the doer who is free from attachment, non-egoistic, endowed with firmness and vigor, and unaffected by success or failure is called sattvic. Arjun said, who is a rajasic doer? Lord Krishna said, the doer who is passionate, desires the fruit of action, is greedy, is given to violence and impure conduct, and is affected by joy and sorrow is declared to be rajasic. Arjun said, who is a tamasic doer? Lord Krishna said, unsteady, vulgar, stubborn, deceitful, malicious, slothful, despondent, and procrastinating, such a doer is said to be tamasic. Arjun said, you have described knowledge, action, and doer, each of three kinds. Besides them, what are other divisions, O Lord? Lord Krishna said, there are also divisions of reason or intellect and firmness, and it is very necessary to know them. Therefore, hear the threefold divisions of reason and firmness, which is being told by me in full. The intellect or reason, which duly knows right action and wrong action, what must be done and what must not be done, fear and fearlessness, bondage and liberation, is sattvic. Arjun said, what is rajasic reason? Lord Krishna said, the reason by which one does not understand correctly what is right and what is wrong, or what ought to be done and what ought not to be done, is rajasic. Arjun said, what is tamasic reason? Lord Krishna said, O son of Kunti, the reason which, enveloped in ignorance, thinks the wrong or unrighteous to be right or righteous and regards all things contrary is tamasic. Arjun said, O Lord, which is sattvic firmness? Lord Krishna said, O Parth, unswerving firmness by which through the yoga of equanimity one controls the activities of the mind, life breaths and senses is sattvic. Arjun said, what is rajasic firmness? Lord Krishna said, the firmness by which one holds fast to dharma or virtue, artha or prosperity, and kama or desire, desirous of the fruit of each from attachment, is rajasic. Arjun said, which is tamasic firmness? Lord Krishna said, the firmness by which a stupid person does not give up sleep, fear, grief, despondency and arrogance is called tamasic. Arjun said, why does a man of tamasic disposition not give up sleep, etc.? Lord Krishna said, he derives happiness out of them. Arjun said, what is that happiness? Lord Krishna said, O Arjun, now hear from me three kinds of happiness or joy. That in which one finds enjoyment only through practice of meditation, worship, etc., and whereby one reaches the end of sorrow, that which appear like poison in the beginning but tastes as nectar in the end, born of the translucence of intellect due to self-realization, is said to be sattvic. Arjun said, what is rajasic joy? Lord Krishna said, the joy which is derived from the contact of the senses with their objects, though appearing like nectar in the beginning, proves to be like poison in the end, is said to be rajasic. Arjun said, what is tamasic joy? Lord Krishna said, the joy which deludes the self or soul both at the beginning and at the end, and which is derived from sleep, indolence, and heedlessness, is said to be tamasic. Arjun said, O Lord, where else are these three gunas found? Lord Krishna said, O brother, there is no existence anywhere on the earth, in heaven or among gods, which is free from these three gunas born of nature. Arjun said, O Lord, What is the means to be free from these gunas? Lord Krishna said, O scorcher of foes, the duties of Brahmans, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and Shudras are divided according to the gunas born of their respective natures. Therefore, performing one's duty according to one's varna or caste is the means to be free from these gunas. Arjun said, What are the duties of a Brahman or priest class? Lord Krishna said, Control of mind, control of senses, undergoing hardships for the sake of duty, external and internal purity, forgiveness, uprightness of body and mind, etc., knowledge of the Vedas and scriptures, realization, belief in God and the scriptures, these are Brahman's inherent duties. Arjun said, What are the duties of a Kshatriya? Lord Krishna said, Heroism, vigor, firmness, resourcefulness, not fleeing from battle, generosity or charity, rulership, these are the Kshatriya's duty born of his own nature. Arjun said, What are the duties of Vaishya? Lord Krishna said, Agriculture, rearing of cows, trade, these are the natural duties of Vaishyas. Arjun said, What are the duties of a Shudra? Lord Krishna said, Service of all the three castes is the duty of a Shudra, born of his own nature. Arjun said, O Lord, what happens by discharging the duty born of one's nature? Lord Krishna said, Devoted to one's own duty without the desire for its fruit, one attains the highest perfection in the form of God realization. Now, listen how one realizes him. Arjun said, O Lord, how? Lord Krishna said, He from whom is the emanation of all beings and by whom the whole world is pervaded. By worshipping him through the performance of his own duty, man attains perfection, that is, realizes him. Arjun said, Why should a man perform his own duty only, O Lord? Lord Krishna said, O brother, better is one's own duty, though devoid of merit, than the duty of another well performed, because by performing one's own duty approved by the scriptures, one does not incur sin. Therefore, one should not abandon one's duty even though devoid of merit, because all undertakings are enveloped by some blemish just as fire is clouded by smoke. Arjun said, Is there any method by which the duty may be free from blemish? Lord Krishna said, Yes, the method is Sankhya Yoga or the discipline of knowledge, whose intellect is unattached everywhere, who has subdued his self and whose thirst for enjoyment has completely disappeared. Such a person through Sankhya Yoga reaches the highest perfection of actionlessness, that is, his actions turn into inaction and he becomes totally free from blemish. Arjun said, What is the order to attain the highest perfection of actionlessness? Lord Krishna said, Know from me briefly the order how reaching such perfection in the shape of purity of heart, one attains Brahma or the Absolute, who is the supreme consummation of knowledge. The person endowed with pure reason, restraining the self with firmness, renouncing the objects of senses, abandoning attachments and aversion, dwelling in a sacred and lonely place, eating light food, subduing speech, body and mind, always in meditation, endowed with dispassion, having abandoned egoism, violence, arrogance, desire, anger, greed, destitute of the feeling of mindness, and being calm, becomes qualified to attain Brahma. Arjun said, What happens when a person is qualified to attain Brahma? Lord Krishna said, Such a devotee, becoming one with Brahma, always remaining cheerful, neither grieves nor desires, and becomes the same to all beings, and thus attains supreme devotion to me. Arjun said, What is the result of supreme devotion? Lord Krishna said, Through devotion, He comes to know me in reality, what I am and who I am, and thereby knowing me in reality, he forthwith enters into me. Arjun said, O Lord, is there any other method also to attain you? Lord Krishna said, Yes, there is a very good method. Arjun said, What is that, O Lord? Lord Krishna said, One who with exclusive devotion takes refuge in me alone, that devotee, ever performing all actions by my grace, attains the eternal imperishable state. Arjun said, O Lord, what should I do? Lord Krishna said, O brother, having surrendered all actions to me, depend on me alone, that is, remove your attachment from all actions and things, etc., and resorting to equanimity, have your mind constantly fixed on me. Arjun said, What will happen when I fix my mind constantly on you? Lord Krishna said, By fixing your mind, you will by my grace overcome all obstacles. But if out of pride you do not listen to me, you will fall. Arjun said, How shall I fall? Lord Krishna said, Prompted by egoism, you think that you will not fight. This determination of yours is vain because your nature of a Kshatriya will compel you to fight. O son of Kunti, it is out of delusion that you do not want to fight. But, bound by your own duty, born of your nature, you will fight helplessly against your will because you are a Kshatriya. Arjun said, O Lord, how will the nature force me to fight? Lord Krishna said, O Arjun, the Lord dwells in the hearts of all beings, and He, by His elusive power, causes all beings to revolve according to their nature as though mounted on a machine. Arjun said, So what should I do so that I may not revolve as though mounted on a machine? Lord Krishna said, O Arjun, seek refuge in God alone with exclusive devotion. By His grace, you will become totally indifferent to the world and gain imperishable supreme state. Thus, I have imparted to you this knowledge of surrendering yourself to Him, which is more secret than secrecy itself. Reflect upon it fully and then act as you like. Arjun said, O Lord, I do not want to do anything according to my will. Tell me what I should do. Lord Krishna said, Listen again to my supreme word, the most secret of all. You are very dear to me, therefore I shall tell you what is for your good. Arjun said, What is good for me, O Lord? Lord Krishna said, Be devoted to me, fix your mind on me, worship me and bow to me. By doing so, you shall without doubt reach me. This I truly promise to you, for you are very dear to me. Arjun said, What should I do if I am unable to do so? Lord Krishna said, Surrendering all duties to me, seek refuge in me alone. I shall liberate you from all sins. Grieve not. Arjun said, O Lord, this message is very easy and beneficial. May I convey this message to all the people? Lord Krishna said, No, brother. This supreme secret teaching should never be imparted to a man who is intolerant, nor to him who is without devotion, nor to him who is unwilling to hear, nor to him who finds fault with me. Arjun said, Excluding this supreme word, whom should I impart the other teachings of the Gita? Lord Krishna said, It should be imparted to my devotees. He who with supreme devotion to me shall impart this most secret teaching of the Gita to my devotees shall attain me without any doubt. Not only this, but among men there will be none to render me a more loving service than he, nor shall anyone be dearer to me than he on the earth. Arjun said, O Lord, if a person is unable to render such a service, what should he do? Lord Krishna said, He should study the sacred dialogue of ours. By him, I shall be worshipped by the sacrifice of wisdom. Such is my conviction. Arjun said, O Lord, What course should a man adopt if he is unable even to study the sacred dialogue? Lord Krishna said, The man who listens to this sacred dialogue of ours, full of faith and an uncorrupting spirit, shall gain the higher worlds of the virtuous. O Parth, now I want to ask you whether you have heard this message with an attentive mind and whether your delusion born of ignorance has been destroyed. Arjun said, O Achyut, my delusion is destroyed and I have regained memory or knowledge by your grace, not by my efforts of listening to this message. I stand free from doubts and I shall obey you. Sanjay said, O King, thus I listened to this thrilling dialogue between Lord Krishna and high-souled Arjun. Dhritarashtra said, O Sanjay, how did you get an opportunity to listen to this dialogue? Sanjay said, I heard this most secret dialogue direct from Lord Krishna through the grace of Vyasa rather than in succession. Dhritarashtra said, O Sanjay, what is its effect on you? Sanjay said, O King, remembering again and again this holy and marvelous dialogue between Lord Krishna and Arjun, I am delighted again and again. Dhritarashtra said, O Sanjay, what else is the reason of your delight? Sanjay said, O King, by recalling that most marvelous cosmic form of Lord Krishna, great is my astonishment and I rejoice again and again. Dhritarashtra said, O Sanjay, what conclusion have you drawn from all this? Sanjay said, Wherever is Lord Krishna, the Lord of Yoga, and wherever is Arjun, the wielder of the Gandhi bow, there is prosperity, victory, glory and righteousness. This is my conviction. End of chapter 18. Note: After the study of Gita, the Melody Eternal, or Gita Madhurya, the readers are requested to go through Sadhak Sanjeevani, published by Gita Press, which contains more details and which will enable them to have a proper understanding of the Gita.